You're Will Stevenson. If you see news happening or want us to report on a story, tell us about it 24/7 by emailing news@wgil.com.
7:14, the WGIL Morning News. Tommy Erdiff, Jim Lee, Will Stevenson. A lot of things going on politically here in the country. Of course, one of the most recent stories out there about immigration reform and the president taking executive action on that. Pensions here in the state of Illinois. The state Supreme Court has ruled that unconstitutional. We're going to find out about all of these things with a gentleman who's very well versed in the Constitution and law. He's a professor emeritus from Illinois State University, was in the political science department. We are joined this morning by Bob Bradley. Bob, good morning. Thanks for joining us here this morning.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's start off with immigration reform. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about executive action and executive orders. And actually, I guess the case is that President Obama has used this probably way less than most presidents have. But maybe his actions he's taken are things that maybe affect people more so than what some other presidents have done.
Well, I think that what happened in this particular situation that caused all the outcry was that it happened, he took this particular executive action on immigration right after a midterm election where his party suffered incredible losses across the country. And so there was a fair number of people, particularly in the Republican Party, that thought that he would back off on what he had pledged to do in regard to immigration, given the fact that his party had lost not only a number of U.S. Senate seats, but also House seats, governor's races, and state legislative races. But he decided not to. There are members of his own party that probably wished that he had taken these actions about a month before the midterm elections and may have changed turnout of certain groups in particular states that might have shaped these races with different election outcomes.
Well, it almost seems like it was a, you know, okay, the election said heck with me, now I'm going to say heck with you.
Exactly, and there are people in the Republican Party that are pretty well dedicated and have been so for about 6 years of trying to ensure that President Obama was not able to achieve any noteworthy policies. Part of that comes just simply from the fact that he represents a historic occasion in election processes in this country. Part of it is that they just don't like the substance of what he's doing. But it ends up being that they're pretty obstructionist in regard to what he does. And in regard to immigration, that has some very big electoral consequences in the sense that they don't want him to be responsible for anything that might help his party down the road.
As far as the immigration goes with the president's edict, so to speak, we hear different things. Is this something the president's have done historically? We hear sometimes it's not been in as big of issues or things that could be as costly to the nation. What are your thoughts on where we go from here? I mean, if the president can say this is the way it is on this, what keeps him from being a dictator and doing that on every issue?
Well, what happened in this particular situation is what the president essentially is doing is telling an agency that is under his control how to enforce the law. I mean, that's essentially what it boils down to. And if you remember your basic civic lessons going way back to even junior high, one of the things that we know is the president is in charge of enforcement. His policies, or what he did in regard to immigration, I won't say policies, but essentially what he's doing is making it so that certain groups of people won't have immigration laws enforced against them as stringently as possible. And what it means is that you have, according to some estimates, about 5 million people who don't have to look over their shoulders every time they're stopped by a local police officer for running a red light, and then that being expanded to the fact that they could be ended up being deported the next day. So essentially what he's doing is arguing that the enforcement of the law will change. But he's telling Congress, if you really want to change policy, as he stated in his address, pass a bill. And it's one of the things that I argued months ago. When the bill from the Senate went to the House, I was very confident that the House was going to, in fact, take a vote on it and pass that bill because it made a lot of sense. Republicans had played, Senate Republicans had played a key role in coming up with that bill, but it never came up for a vote in the House. And it just sort of surprised me that that happened.
Talking with Bob Bradley, he is a retired political science professor from Illinois State University. And Bob, a lot of people argue, like, well, we had immigration laws in place, but those were not being enforced. And I think this goes back before the current president was in power even.
Right. And there's a lot of people that make that argument, but the numbers in a lot of ways make that argument sort of fly in the face of reality. Deportations are up incredibly. The number of illegal border crossings in the border with Mexico have dropped substantially. In fact, there was one point in time where the number of people going from north to south was greater than the number of people going south to north. And so there's been a lot of enforcement. And in this, these orders that the president made recently, he pledged that he would raise even further the amount of money and personnel going to our southern border to make it more secure.
Bob, let's go ahead and talk about some of the other issues that have people fired up, and there's no shortage of those right now. Certainly coming off of last night, your thoughts on the situation in Ferguson from the legal standpoint.
Well, from the legal standpoint, what the grand jury did was its responsibility, which is to look at the entire body of evidence and determine whether an individual was criminally liable for the actions that took place. And in that particular situation, the action that took place was a police officer shooting a civilian and killing them. Now, what the grand jury had to determine was whether that officer had any criminal liability attached to that action. And after looking at all the evidence, they determined no. Now, what you could question was the timing of the announcement of that verdict, because it was announced at fairly late in the evening, when those who probably were the most emotionally connected to that incident would be the only ones that would probably be out on the streets paying attention to that thing. And then the amount of coverage that got by the media. In my time of studying the courts and law, which is actually over a fairly extensive amount of time, I've never, ever seen a local grand jury covered that extensively by national media. But on the other hand, it does show that we still have quite a ways to go in terms of race relations in this country. And obviously, across the country, we need to work even better to make the relations between law enforcement and certain communities smoother.
Talking with Bob Bradley, Professor Emeritus from Illinois State University, who was in the Political Science Department. And Bob, I was going to. That was one thing that puzzled me too. Was the timing of the announcement? Because, as I understand it, I mean, I guess maybe the question is: did they already have their answers? Did they already know what their answer was going to be? Was the grand jury done with their job? And if so, I mean, yesterday morning there was very few, if any, people, or at least around the courthouse in St. Louis County, and it was horrible weather. I mean, yeah, why do you wait till, like you said, where the emotionally charged people are at their most emotional moments to make the announcement?
Yeah, I didn't understand that, because they had released the grand jury hours before the prosecutor came out and made that public statement. And I haven't seen an explanation for why that happened. And in fact, there were some accounts, but I put with a grain of salt some of these accounts, because there was a lot of stuff said in the media that ended up being really wrong, or partly wrong, in regard to the facts of this particular situation. So I put with a grain of salt that what some of the media said is that the grand jury was done on Friday. And so one wondered, and oftentimes when you do bad news, whether it's a company or in this particular situation a grand jury determination, you tend to do it like on late Friday afternoon when you think, you know, most people are heading home and nobody's really paying attention to the news at all. But they waited till Monday evening, and I'm not sure. I don't know if they'll ever explain why that happened.
Yeah, hoping that the weekend will come, everybody has other plans, and nobody will notice, right?
Right, and that's what oftentimes happens. You know, you'll notice that corporations oftentimes will announce firings or benefits have been cut and all that kind of stuff, and they'll send out a memo late Friday afternoon.
Talking with Bob Bradley, retired Illinois State University political science professor. We're going to take a quick break here, come back, and talk about something that's probably near and dear to your heart, Bob. That's the pension reform here in the state of Illinois. We'll come back 7:25. This is the WGIL Morning News.
You're in your combine thinking about all the decisions you made this past year, and you're not happy. Even though you added a residual herbicide, you're seeing
off by listening to Clark Howard this afternoon at 3 on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
It is the WGIL Morning News. Tom Meredith, Jim Lee, along with retired Illinois State University political science professor Bob Bradley. And Bob, recently, I guess this was last week, the Illinois State Supreme Court ruled unconstitutional the pension reform. And this is an issue that is, I mean, I don't even know what's going to happen, what can happen. I mean, the state of Illinois is in such a financial mess. I mean, what can even be done about this situation?
Well, what they can do is start looking toward the future. One of the things that I'd argued for quite a while in regard to this is for the General Assembly to pass a law basically saying that they can't divert funds that are supposed to go into the pension for other purposes. Because that was the state's history of doing that is a major contributor to the pension mess that we're in now. And that is that funds that were supposed to go into the pension system didn't end up there. And they ended up helping infrastructure or various other things that the state of Illinois was paying for. And it was always thought, well, down the road, those diverted funds, we would make up for that and divert even more funds into the pension system. Well, nobody held true to that. And they kept doing that over and over again. And I was wishing that the General Assembly, and it would be sort of a symbolic thing, but it would be nice to hear, is that they would pass a law saying that that would never happen again, that they would not divert funds for the goal of enhancing the pension to other types of things. What they need to think about is the future. And what are they going to do in regard to new hires? And are they going to hold the same pension requirements for new hires as opposed to the people that had been previously hired into the system?
And I think you're absolutely right, because looking at the future, I mean, there's a problem now, and I don't know so much, which you would know this, at the state or public university level, but as far as public schools here in the state of Illinois, a secondary school, they're having trouble keeping graduates, for instance, of Illinois State's education program. They're having trouble keeping them in the state because they're thinking, why do I want to do this? One, they're making more and more rules, making it harder to become a teacher. Two, and to keep your teaching license. Two, what about, am I going to even have a pension or whatever the case may be?
Exactly. And Illinois State's also confronting that. I mean, Illinois State is still one of the largest producers of teachers in the country. And what's happening in Illinois State for the last few years is a lot of the graduates out of that program who want to become elementary ed teachers, secondary ed teachers, special ed teachers, are going to states other than the state of Illinois. And that's a huge problem. I mean, that's a problem that, you know, here, it's not just the pension, but what the pension is doing to other things. And here the pension mess is clearly affecting the quality of education in this state. And so this is something that just can't be, you know, pushed down the road any further. This is an immediate problem, and hopefully the new governor and the new General Assembly will make this their top priority, because it affects a whole bunch of stuff. It's not just pensioners.
Well, and I know I was going to ask you about that with the new governor. I mean, with Democrats still having a supermajority in Springfield, is he going to be able to make a difference? And I know your former boss, the former president of ISU, Dr. Al Bowman, is on his transition team as far as helping out on the education side. I mean, is he going to be able to make a difference?
It'll be interesting. One of our first glimmers of that, and this is something that I would advise the media to pay attention to, is one of the state's public unions contracts with the state is coming to an end fairly quickly here. And it'll be very interesting to see how the new governor handles those contract negotiations. Because if you remember early on, he made statements that were very anti-public union. Toward the end of the campaign, he started backing off of that and said that he wasn't really opposed to public unions, but he was opposed to the leadership of public unions. Now, it'll be very interesting to see how he handles the contract negotiations with this union, and that'll give some sense of, you know, more broadly, how is he going to handle the pensions for public employees.
Bob Bradley, Professor Emeritus, Illinois State University, from the Political Science Department. Bob, we want to thank you so much for taking some time this morning and shedding some light on some of the things happening here in our country. We really do appreciate it, Bob. Best of luck. It's probably not going to be good enough weather for you to get back on the golf course anytime soon, is it?
Well, they're talking about next week. In the middle of the week, it might be up in the 60s.
Well, there you go. There you go. Bob, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right. That is Bob Bradley, retired Illinois State University political science professor, here on the WGIO Morning News. 7:32, we'll check in with Will next.
Hello?
Hi, Eric. This is Terry from Farmers Insurance. Any changes regarding your home or car?
Well, I started carpooling with some friends from work.
No problem. With the extra people in the car, we want you to stay safe, so let me update your liability.